Welcome around God's Word again this afternoon. We have opened into 1 Chronicles for our first reading. Let's read from chapter 16, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Begin at verse 1. 1 Chronicles 16. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, and a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record, and to thank, and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next to him, Zechariah, Jeiel, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom, and Jeiel with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also, and Jehaziel, the priests with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day David delivered first this psalm, to thank the Lord, into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Let's stop there. I've opened hymn 158 in the Zion Psalm, 158. I believe that we have sung this before, but if not, leaders, please feel free to turn back a page if you need. Let's pray together. Our Father, how great and wonderful Thou art. How amazing, how omniscient, how omnipotent our Creator, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a privilege it is to be able to fall upon our knees before Thee and to call upon Thee and call Thee Father through Jesus Christ, Thy Son. We confess, as we talked about this morning, we confess as Nehemiah our sin before Thee. We confess to our fallen nature. We confess to our sinful desires and to our pride. And Father, we lay it before Thee asking that Thou wilt change us. We're so thankful that we, in spite of our sin, can be called righteous because of the blood of Christ. And yet, Father, we don't want you to just be called righteous, but we want to become righteous. We want to be sanctified by Thy Spirit. And we want to walk in the light as Thou art in the light. We want to love those things that Thou dost love, and we want to hate the things that Thou dost hate. Even as Brother Joe spoke this morning of a dislocated heart, may our heart be located with Thee. Teach us, Father. Teach us even in this day from Thy holy word. Even when we read familiar words, Father, from Thy word, they find us in a new place in life. And they take on for us new meaning. For Thy word is a living word. Thy word is an everlasting word. And we are so grateful for it. Father, we pray for our children and our teachers in Sunday school and ask that Thou would bless their time together. Grant the teachers wisdom and give the hearts of the students to attentiveness, and may their time be productive. And we ask, Father, that Thou would meet us now through Thy word. Touch our hearts. Wake us up. Challenge us where we need to be challenged. Comfort us where we need to be comforted. Thou knowest each of our needs, Father, better than we even know our needs ourselves. And knowing that, we trust in Thee, giving Thee praise and honor in the name of Christ. Amen. Opened into the very first chapter of the Gospel of St. John. And let's begin at verse 1 again. St. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he saith, 'I am not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah.' And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said unto him, 'Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, nor neither that prophet?' And John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose.' These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water.' And John bare record, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. There's a lot to unpack here. I'm not sure how far we will get in this afternoon, but we will start here in chapter 1. The first verse, in the beginning was the Word. Word capitalized, of course, referring to Jesus Christ himself. And we see a lot of overlap in the Gospels. We know that these are eyewitness accounts of the teaching of the life of Christ. We have Matthew, we have Mark, we have Luke, and we have John, and each of them has a little bit different perspective on Jesus. Gives us a little bit more complete of a picture, having those different perspectives. One of John's purposes of writing is not just to the Jews, but also to introduce Christ to the Gentiles. If we go back to Matthew, you know, we see Matthew establishing who Christ is because of the genealogy, right? The Jews were steeped in their genealogy, and so for Matthew it's about explaining the genealogy of Christ, how Christ comes from the lineage of David, the promised Messiah. John does not take the time to do that, not because he doesn't believe the same thing, not because he doesn't think it's important, but because his intended audience is a little bit different. The Jews were very much steeped in tradition. The Gentiles, much more in, and especially if you go back to the historical Greek societies, much more in logic, right? Much more in applying human logic to figure things out. The word here translated as word is logos, and the powerful thing about that word in the beginning of John here is that it speaks to both the Jew and the Greek. To the Jew, the word it speaks to God's revelation. It speaks to God's law. God's word is God's law, and the word of God is through his prophets is revelation. So the word takes on a very Jewish meaning in that sense. But to the Greek reader, the word logos, which is the root word of our word logic, means thinking. It means making sense of things. And so Christ, in this very first verse, is revealed to make sense both to the Gentile and the Greek. Because he is the Lord of all, he is the Lamb of all. Right? There is no distinction. Sometimes we read in the scripture, we have certain characters that refer to your God or to my God. Right? And John is trying to make a universal claim and a universal introduction to the God and the Lord and the Savior. And so his claim here is that Christ is in the beginning. He is one with God the Father. So he's claiming the deity of Jesus Christ here in the very first verse. And he continues, as he says in verse 2 and 3, that the same was in the beginning with God and that all things were made by him. So Jesus is not just someone that comes on the scene, right, during the Roman Empire. Jesus is the Creator. Jesus isn't just known of the Creator or doesn't just know the Creator. Jesus is the Creator. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That word comprehended, I forget exactly what the Greek word is, but it can also be interpreted as apprehended. So, it's the idea of grasping. And so, you know, we can think about even this verse in a couple different ways. We could think about it in the sense of comprehending, like not understanding it. So they didn't understand who he was. The light shined in the darkness, and they didn't fully understand who he was. But we can also understand it from the idea of apprehending it or grasping that Jesus Christ came into the world, and they didn't grasp or hold on to Christ, right? In the way that we do now through our understanding of what has happened through history. We have a little bit more complete picture than they did at that time. It speaks of John the Baptist then fulfilling the prophecy of one crying in the wilderness. It says in verse 8, he was not that light, light again, capital L, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. I think that 10th verse there, it just makes me think of where we stand today. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. There is such a lack of knowledge of Christ. And Christ was the creator of all. He's the creator of everyone in this room. He's the creator of everyone we meet. And he's the creator of everything that we see around us. And yet we have such a lack of knowledge of Christ. And I don't say that just pointing a finger at the world, right? I say that looking in our own hearts as well. Do we have a knowledge of Christ? Because there's many verses that I come upon. And we recently read through 1 John, and it speaks of the love of God. It speaks of the love of Christ. It says, if you know the Father, then you will love. Because God is love. Right? So when you read a verse like that, what do you think? What goes through your mind when you think, if you know God, you will love because God is love? What goes through my heart is, I don't know Christ well enough. Because there's times when I love myself instead of loving my family. When I love myself instead of loving my church. And when I do that, that is not by the knowledge of Christ. Because that's not who Christ was. And so again, when I say he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not, there's a lack of knowledge. And I don't mean just outside these walls. I mean inside these hearts. And so let's fix that. Let's fix that. Let us mold our lives around a knowledge of Christ. Sometimes it manifests itself in fear and in anxiety. And if we read that verse in that context, think about it again. He was in the world, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Right? There's nothing that's outside the perspective of God. Nothing we're facing that God doesn't understand. Nothing that we are tempted with or tempted by that Christ himself does not understand. That's why Hebrews talks about us having this great high priest. Right? What's the role of the high priest? The role of the high priest is to connect the people with God. And that's what Jesus does. He connects us with God the Father. Because he knows us and he understands us. He understands our weakness. Verse 11, he came unto his own and his own received him not. I think it's speaking primarily of the Jews at that point. But as many as received him, he transformed them. It says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but were born of God. So that's something that, right? That's not something we do of ourselves. That's something that God does for us. That we can become His children, the children of the living God. And there's places in the gospel we won't turn to now, but that speak of that inheritance, that speak of sonship. It says, you know, you're no longer servants, but you're sons of the living God. And with that sonship comes both responsibility, but also comes inheritance. To think of inheriting from the Creator. And it's not just a future inheritance, but it's a present inheritance, an inheritance of His Spirit, an inheritance of His perspective. Verse 14 says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And that's such a complete that's such a completeness. That phrase, full of grace and truth. Right? Don't we think of truth being harsh? Don't we think of truth being uncompromising? And we think of grace being merciful. Right? We think of grace being enabling. Right? And Christ is full of both. He's full of grace and full of truth. He came and said, I'm not come to destroy the law or the prophets. He says, I'm not come to destroy, but I've come to fulfill. Right? So He's not destroying truth, and yet He's enabling us, right, to meet the exacting standards of a law that we can't on our own. So He's not saying those standards no longer exist, but He's lifting us up to those standards through His blood, full of grace and truth. Verse 17 says, "The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." Hebrews again talks about Jesus being the image, right? The image of the Father. In Jesus, we see the person of God Himself. We see the character of God Himself. And we say that, and sometimes yet I think we lose sight of that. Of Jesus Christ embodying God the Father. Our time's running a little short, but one thing I wanted to remark upon here as He calls the first disciples. This is verse 41. He first findeth, well, verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. It says, Andrew first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we found the Messiah. We found the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, and thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. There is a lot going on there, okay? So, first of all, he's not been introduced to Simon, right? He knows who Simon is. Not a surprise, since he's the creator, right? But he not only knows who Simon is, but he knows who Simon will become. He not only knows who we are, but he knows what we will become. And he says, Simon, thou shalt be called Cephas, or thou shalt be called Peter, or Petra, or stone, or rock, rock of my church. He doesn't say, thou art Simon, the one who will deny me. Doesn't say that. He says, you are Simon, the rock of my church. What does he say to each of us? Right? He knows each of us as we are, but he also knows who we will become. Through him. Right? Through him. Through him, Peter became the rock of the church. And he was not without fault. Absolutely not. And there was a time when he flat out denied that he knew Christ, trying to preserve his flesh. And Jesus understood all of that and doesn't condemn him for it. But he points to who he will become. And so may we, I wish we had time to go back to the Psalm of Praise that we read in 1 Chronicles. We don't have enough time, but just a couple verses. He says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him psalms. It says in verse 10, glory ye in his holy name, and let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. And verse 11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Let's remember that verse as we go this week. Seek his face continually. All right, we talked about Nehemiah and his confession. We talked about him praying, right? We want to pray to God and we want to be honest with God. And we want to set aside that time with God. Why? Because we want to be known, right, of Him. And we want to know Him. We need that relationship with Him. So that we, as Peter, we can grow into what God wants us to be. We're not going to do it on our own. Right? We talked about at lunchtime a little bit about trying to be good on our own. Trying to improve, right? Trying to get where we need to be. And we can't do that. We're not going to get to a place where God looks upon us and says, well done. Right? All that we can do is place ourselves in the hands of God as we are and let Him work through us. And even when Peter denies Him, right? God's still working through Peter, even in his failure, right? That wasn't the end of the road. As soon as he failed, God didn't say, okay, I'm done with you, Peter. I'll pick somebody else. That was a formative moment in which Peter became stronger and more committed because of what happened in his life. And so don't let anything that happens hinder us from seeking the face of God continually. Don't allow it to stop God from working and maturing us in Him. Because we, as Peter, have a destiny that God has for us. Right? And it's through our mistakes as much as through our triumphs. Because as good as we are, we'll never be good enough. But as poor as we are, we will always be good enough in the blood of Christ. So may we go forward with confidence, knowing that and seeking Him each and every moment.
Well, the Word has been good to us this morning and this afternoon. Just great to hear both of these scriptures come out. There's just so much here for us to think about. I just think of this first chapter in John, and I just think about him being a young person and having this eyewitness and seeing John the Baptist there and Jesus coming in and eyewitnessing all this stuff. And, John, we know, is the eagle. Is one of the things is that he wrote all this stuff. I don't think he understood all of it right here at the beginning, because he makes these five first statements right at the beginning about the Word and the Word becoming. And I don't think he knew all that until later, until he put all the pieces together. And he wanted to write this so that we would be able to understand all these great things that Greg just talked about. And it's just amazing, this eyewitness and this story that we have from John, that he put it together for us. I circled some words that Greg said, fulfilling, that we need to be the fulfillment of what God has for us, that we should seek His face continually in the week ahead. He has such great things planned for us, just like John maybe didn't know that he was going to be the one to pull all this together and to give this whole beautiful picture of Scripture and Jesus and His complete fulfillment of the law, the Word, the Old Testament. And he maybe didn't know that. But he was continually to seek his face, just like Peter was called out in here. And we've been called out. You've been called out like that. The Lord has you here in his house today for a reason. He's got a work for you. He's got something that's just not finished yet. And he wants you to seek his face continually. Let's sing a song. ask your brother to lead us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we bow upon our knees once again to thank Thee for everything that You've given unto us this day, the morning prayer and the worship and singing praises to Thee. We just want to open our hearts and let everybody know that our light shines bright. And we just want to be so thankful that we have these opportunities to stop and to focus and to listen under Thy sound and Thy word, to understand that He has died for us on the cross for our sins, and that we have the opportunity for hope of eternal life with Thee forever in eternity. So we just praise once again that You be with each and every one of us throughout our travel, and all those who are less fortunate, we pray that You be by their bedsides, sick, the needy. Help each and every one of us throughout this week. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.